You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with...
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with our sponsor, Mark Jabeur from Paintsmith Long Beach. And Mark will be chatting to Dale Nicolet from Decro. Good morning. Good morning, Mark. And good morning, Dale. Welcome to Zoom Radio.
Good morning. Nice to be here again.
Yes, it just seems such a long time ago.
It's a long time ago that it was yet. I think it was about a month, 6 weeks ago.
No, I think a bit longer, yes. It just seems so long. Yeah,
I think it's this miserable weather we have. Yes. Everyone wants to stay inside and doesn't want to go outside, and we become hermits. So it's nice to be out.
I fully agree with you.
Nice to be out.
I fully agree with you.
We have a boffin with us here today. Dale is the manufacturer of our product. Good man to have. Good man to have on board. His knowledge is absolutely superb. I think what's important today, Sue, is a lot has happened over the last couple of weeks, Dale, and you would have seen it the last 6 weeks, the last 2 months. The miserable weather we've been having in Cape Town has caused major issues in the painting industry. Not just with me, not with you, but all the other paint retailers out there, all the other paint manufacturers out there, we've had a really, really torrid time. I think we've in fact forgotten about the rain that we've had. This year was, if I remember correctly, the wettest year since 1960 or 1961. So it's been a bad one. We're going to talk to the contractors today. Zone Radio fortunately plays in a lot of hardware stores in the area, a lot of retailers in the area, and it's 10 o'clock, half past 10 in the morning, and the contractors are out there buying their nuts, their bolts, their screws. So if you're in a hardware retailer, put your basket down, stop your trolley, Mr. Paint Contractor or Mr. Builder, and listen for the next half an hour in the aisles on what we're going to talk about. It's very, very important. It's going to stop headaches for yourself. It's going to stop headaches for your customer or your client, your homeowner. And more importantly, it's going to stop headaches for us. I said to Dale this morning, there's never or very hardly is there a paint failure. People are too inclined to say the paint has failed. It's not a paint failure. There's always a painting failure. There's a reason why the paint has failed. And we're going to discuss a couple of the things that contractors can look out to. And how you can guarantee that you're going to have a decent job at the end of the day, where you're going to be happy, your client's going to be happy, and obviously your retailer's going to be happy. Sorry, just a quick one. I thought it was funny. Maybe the listeners won't think it's funny. But how does a painting contractor handle a difficult client? They just brush them off. I thought that was fun. So if you're a painting contractor, please don't go and brush your clients off. Let's go and have a look at exterior painting, Dale. It's critical. Interior painting during the last couple of months hasn't been a major problem. There's been a lot of moisture in the air, but it hasn't stopped the interior decorating going on. But the exterior, it's been a nightmare for a lot of people, for the homeowner, for the contractor, and for the retailer. Let's go and chat about a couple of things, and the contractors do know it, and I do understand that the contractors are under pressure. It's miserable weather. They've got their staff they've got to pay for. It's a weekly pay run they've got to do, or weekly wage run on a Friday they've got to, but they haven't got money. They haven't had jobs. They've got to get to a certain stage within the contracting business to do a draw on a bank or whatever the case is. So what happens? We short-circuit it. I need the money. I need the draw either from the customer or I need the draw from the bank. It's not ideal, but let's go ahead and do it. We'll sort the problem out later, and the problem's going to come. Dale, you've seen it often. I've seen it often. don't rush it.
Very much so, Mark. Just going back, actually, from to last year is when it actually started all happening, because that was the highest rainfall that we had in 50 years or whatever it was. And then it's just continued again this year. So it's the problems have started actually last year, and we've just seen it escalate this year. And it's going back to, as you say, people are rushed to do the jobs. They are not, especially on new builds, they're not waiting for the plaster to dry out, and they just want to get the job done. And then it becomes a paint issue. And as you well know, with Paintsmiths, you guys service the client, you guys are personally involved in the jobs. And that's why we're finding the interaction between you and the client is a lot more. And the client gets frustrated. And this is, I think, why we're talking about today, is to actually just bring it into perspective of why it's actually happening.
Yeah. It's very difficult, Dale, to tell a customer your home is looking terrible, you've just had a redeck, or you had a redeck at the beginning of the year, a couple of months back, and it looks like a dog's breakfast. It's nothing to be proud of. And it's very difficult to tell a homeowner, don't do anything now. Wait until December. And their eyes go big, and you can see the utter disappointment. It's a question of, you mean I've got to live in this home until December before I can do anything? It shouldn't have happened in the first place.
That's
if great. There was a little bit of a delay, just by 2 or 3 months, they wouldn't have sat with this problem. Let's just go back one step, and let's go and have a look at the basics. The homeowner's going to listen to this, and I think it's up to the homeowner as well to say to the contractor, guess what, George? You're not painting this week. It's going to mess your schedule up. I know you've got other jobs lying in the pipeline. My home, my money, and it's going to be my problem when my house looks terrible.
Yeah, that's correct.
Which is going to become your home. So this is for the homeowner. The contractor knows what to do, but there's shortcuts. Homeowner, these are the things you've got to have a look at. And when your contractor is on site, it's not always easy. You're at work, etc. But have a look at how they start their job and how they finish their job. The first thing that any contractor worth his salt is going to do preparation on your home. And that is probably 80% of the success of your paint job at the end of the day. With your surface preparation, you're talking of cleaning, repairing, sanding, etc. Take me through what the homeowner and the contractor should be looking out for when it comes to, we're going to do split it into a new deck. So it's a new decoration. It's a new home. It's just been built. It's just been plastered. You haven't moved in yet. That's scenario one. And scenario two is it's a redeck. In other words, your home has been previously painted. You're just sprucing it up. Let's start with the redeck. What should the homeowner be doing, and what should the contractor be doing redecking a home?
Well, firstly, Mark, I think with the redeck or a new build, but how, let's start with the redeck. I mean, yeah, with the redeck, is that you call a technical advisor in, firstly, to draw up a specification, right? It's not as simple as call a painter in and put the paint on. So call them in and put a specification in place. And the specification will state what your preparation is based on what your substrate looks like, whether there's hairline cracks, whether there's moisture ingress. Let's say that there's a lack of waterproofing on the parapet walls, on your freestanding walls. And then you get a specification in which needs to be followed. Going back to preparation is that what I would do first, and this is what has been lacking in a lot of, I'm talking actually new builds now, but in terms of redeck, going back is actually high pressure washing. The biggest failure in terms of paint is not the lack of prep or what, it's not washing down your walls. And that is especially on the coast, you guys.
Plenty of salt with
this area, it's continuously each day you have, based on the wind, you've got salt on your surface. You need to remove that salt before you do any application. You can have the best primer, the best paint, it's not going to last.
So the trick is high pressure hose before you do anything.
That is absolutely correct. Do that, and then now based on how long it takes you to prep your walls, it might be a couple of days when you're actually ready to paint. Well, then you need to wash down again and let it dry. So it's not like just one wash. It could be two washes.
It's ideally, if you've gone for 3 or 4 days with high-pressure hosing before you've actually started the job, you've wasted your time.
That is correct, yeah, Mark. And a bit of a sales pitch as well. We have brought out a product, which I think I mentioned to you about. It's called SolSolve Pro, and it's a soluble salt remover. And it removes the soluble salt so that if you do a salt test, it is within the parameters of being able to paint. And it's just something new, something extra that you can add for the client, the asset owner, to make sure that they are getting the correct, let's say, preparation and the correct lifespan out of their paint.
Regardless of what you're putting on your wall, if your preparation is not there, your product is going to fail.
Very much so. So we're going back. So I'm sure we're going to talk about the different primers in terms of alkali resistance. And it's very important to start at the beginning because we spoke about it earlier, is that you can put the best quality paint on, but if you don't prep and put the correct alkali resisting primer on, it's not worth actually putting your top coat on.
In fact, you can go the other way around. You can put a really good alkali resistant primer on your walls. I'm talking now a new build. Put a pretty economical paint on the top. It's going to last. It's not going to last by putting a cheap primer on and putting an expensive paint over the top.
That is correct.
You're going to fail.
Yeah, and all primers, all the manufacturers, the primers all say alkali resisting primer. All right, but it's how much alkali resisting emulsion, grams per liter, whatever it is, in the film that gives you the resistance.
Because that's made out of water. It's a large percentage of water.
Well, nowadays, a lot of those solvent-based primers, oil-based primers, are actually made with water, the new technology now. So you can have...
Sorry, Dale, that's something I struggle to get my head around. It's either solvent or it's water-based. Now you're telling me a solvent-based primer is water-based.
Well, it's not water-based. It's still solvent-based, but however, the makeup can go up to 40-42% water in it. Hence the reason why you've got to stir your primers nowadays, because you have settlement where you have the separation, and if you don't stir it properly, you're not going to have the correct obliteration, the rolling, you're going to have slipping, you're going to have back roll, all that type of stuff.
You're not doing me any good, because a client's going to come into my store now, find out the price of a decent alkali-resistant primer. I'm going to give him the price. He's going to get himself up off the floor and say to me, but 50% of that is water. It's cheap.
No, well, that's correct. If you look at the prices, let's say 5 years ago, the primers are actually cheaper now. So the prices have actually come down. In essence. But there's only one reason, is because there's water being added to it. So the makeup of it, because it's water, doesn't make it worse. It doesn't make it not that it's going to do its job. All that happened is that's just the technology that is out there now and how people are making it. But it's all about the actual emulsion that's in there and the amount of it.
Which is going to be doing the work.
It's not the water. The solvent evaporates. The water evaporates. It's what's left in the film to stop the alkali attack into your paint form.
Okay, so now we've high-pressure hosed. We've had cracks. We've opened the cracks up. We've primed those cracks with a primer. We fill them. We prime them. We paint over them.
Well, one step back, you've first done a moisture test on those, on the repaired areas, because generally what happens is you do your repairs and the next day you arrive there, it looks dry on the surface, but there might be 10 mils deep and that crack is not dry. And what we find often is in that area where the repairs are, that's where your alkali burn. The rest of the paint around, it's fine.
And we see that often going on to site. Correct. You can see it clearly on site. Yes. It hasn't been allowed to dry out.
Yeah.
So open it up, let it dry out.
And I'm going to give you some extra work now to do, is call you and go out and do a moisture test 100%. For the client. So if your paint is specified, give that option to the contractor and the client, and say, and so the client says to the contractor, have you had paintsmiths out yet to come and do a moisture test to sign it off that it's ready to go? It is frustrating for the contractor. As you said, they have deadlines, they have timelines, they need to move on, they would like a draw of payment. However, it's you're throwing good money off the bad, if you for a phrase.
You talk about testing for moisture, I've been on site where the contractors have said there's very little moisture in the walls. You have a look at the moisture meter that they're utilizing. They're utilizing a pronged, your common garden variety, 500 rand moisture meter from your local hardware store. That's only measuring your surface moisture. Correct. It's not measuring anything below the surface. Go and if you're a contractor, painting contractor, if you're a building contractor, go and spend the 2,000 or 3,000 rand on a decent moisture meter that's going to read up to, what's it, about 25 mils or whatever into your surface, correct, round, yes, about there. That's going to tell you whether your wall's got moisture in or not. A little prong, stainless steel prong, is not going to happen. That's for wood. It's going to tell you what your wood moisture is, what your surface moisture is, dry walls, etc. But on masonry, it's not worth the 500 rand you've spent on it.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, now we're going to have a look at choosing our paint. As the homeowner, there's a couple of ways you go, but obviously you want to go in acrylic. Do you go matte? Do you go satin sheen? Do you go low sheen? There's 101 products in the market. And I think the basics, without going into detail, your matte product, your exterior coat, it's going to hide a lot of imperfections in your wall. It's going to cover up where what the contractor, when he didn't pay attention. The downside with that, and this is my personal feeling, a matte paint to me hasn't got movement. It hasn't got life. It's to me, it's dead. There is a place for it, most definitely. The more sheen you have, the easier it is to clean. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a look at our 240 range of products, which is a superb product. It's got a low sheen to it. It's a scrubbable paint as opposed to a washable paint. So, yes, if you need to take the bird poo off and the starlings that have eaten the fruit in your garden, you can take a scrubbing brush to it and you can scrub it off. Anything less than that, you go your 230. The more matte you go, the more difficult it is going to be to clean your walls, etc.
That's correct, yeah.
We chatted very briefly this morning about your water-based. We're going to have a look at a product like Velvaglow. I'm going to mention it because we do sell it. You've got a solvent-based Velvaglow and you've got a water-based Velvaglow. Your solvent-based Velvaglow doesn't go anywhere outside.
That is correct. Yeah.
It stays inside. Velvaglow you'll use on your skirtings possibly, your door frames, etc. on the inside. Your water-based you will use on the outside. Critical. Otherwise, you're going to get cracking. These are the things that your contractor is going to guide you through, or he should be able to guide you through. Silly things. Colors. Light colors are going to reflect your heat of your home. Dark colors are going to absorb it. So take into account when you're painting your home, where are you situated? Are you out in the open? There's no trees. You're up on the side of the mountain. It gets incredibly hot. Do you really want to paint your home a dark color? It's going to be incredibly hot in summer. A lighter product is going to be a lot easier. Primers. Let's talk about primers. And you smile when it comes to primers. We're going to talk about a new build. We're all excited. Our house is built. It's cost us an arm and a leg. It's our first home. We go on site once or twice a week to watch our home go up from foundations, window level, roof level, and it's now looking like a home. Big mistake that is made. It's the final bit of decorating your home. This is your top coat's going to make your home look what it should be. And this is where things often go very, very wrong. A primer needs to be applied. You get two types of primers. You get a plaster primer. You get an alkali-resistant primer. What do I use as a homeowner, my new house, what do I use and why?
Mark, it's going, as we spoke about this morning, the most important part is actually, especially on a new build, is your primer. So you know, this might lose you a bit of revenue and turnover. But
I want a happy customer.
Yeah, I would rather spend more money on your primer per square meter than your top coat. So rather go your best primer possible in terms of price, which will be more expensive, and a lower quality top coat, because you will be with settlement cracks, with shrinkage cracks. Any new build, you are going to have those plaster cracks forming, which moisture will go into.
And it is going to happen, though.
It's 100% going to happen, and we've seen it over the last 2 years. 95% of all of our, let's say, not complaints, but
concerns
have been new builds, and it's always been, as we discussed earlier, painted too early, or it's painted fine, the plaster's dried, but then there's been settlement cracks. Your first winter comes, moisture gets in, and you get alkali attack, which causes, obviously, pigment discoloration, which is being attacked. So rather spend more money on your primer, less on your top coat, because in 2 to 3 years, you are going to be having to do remedial work on your building and repaint. Then go and put your proper, your more expensive top coat that's going to last you your 8-10 years.
It's very good advice, and this is the kind of advice that we're offering our customers at our retail store. To reiterate, spend the money on your primer. That is what's holding your paint on the wall. That is what's protecting your paint, is your primer. We mentioned it just now. You can put a cheap primer on and a very expensive top coat. It's not going to last. Whereas you put a really good primer on and an economical top coat on the top, just means you're going to paint a little bit more often. But your paint's going to last. It's going to stay on the walls.
That is correct. Yeah, but as I say, you are going to paint more often, but you would be painting anyway in 2 to 3 years.
Correct.
Regardless.
Yes.
So whether you put the expensive or the cheap one, you're still going to come back in that time period.
Two to three years.
Correct.
Just a homeowner who's got a home, he's now built a security wall around his home. Contractors plastered it. It's this time of the year. It's 20 degrees. A lot of dew in the morning, a lot of dew at night. The plaster looks gray on the outside. It's dry. Let's paint. Disaster. And I think the rule of thumb is about a millimeter per day. So if you've got a 20 mil thick plaster on the outside of your brickwork, that's 20 days of sunshine.
That's correct.
At 25 degrees. Roundabout. If you're only getting 16, 17, 18 degrees, those 20 days is now going to be 30 days or even longer. Leave it. Don't rush the job. You're also going to get your settling cracks coming in during that period. Let's call it a month. Before you paint, now go and have a look. Go and repair. Go and do some remedial action before you put a top coat. But let your plaster dry. Critical. Where do you pick up problems with new builds?
Oh, that can vary, Mark. In terms of, I would say your first problems in new builds are hairline cracks, and that can be, and even though people say it's under a reveal or whatever, it doesn't matter if it's under a reveal or a freestanding wall, because you're still going to get moisture ingress into those cracks. And we find it a lot more on freestanding walls, especially on because of lack of waterproofing on parapets, where they just put on paint or some form of waterproofing, but it's not adequate enough. So a cementitious waterproofing on top of that, it gets brittle, it cracks. So rather go on the top of your parapets with a decent Fiberflex, in terms of something with a fiber in it. You don't have to put an embedding coat with a membrane, but just a product with fiber in it. So you got a bit of flex, you got a bit of body, you got a bit of build to stop the water actually penetrating.
It must be overcoated, though.
Which must be overcoated then with your top coat.
It's not a final product.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we do have final products for that do have mm-hmm. fibers in it. But generally, when you're painting your house, you're painting your house with one product, so you just go over that with yep. the same product.
And you'd use that on your parapets and you'd use it on your windowsills. Anywhere where water is going to lie or has the potential to lie around.
Yeah.
We've both been to homes where another thing, beautiful newly built home, damp course is in, and we get a landscaper in. He's now going to do our garden. He's going to plant our lawn. He's going to give us flower beds and rose bushes and all the rest of it. The downside is when you go and look for that damp course, which is critical to keeping the water out of his home, you can't see the damp course. It's 18 inches out of 2 or 3 tons of topsoil that they put on that section of the house, and your damp course has disappeared. And all that wall is going to do is suck up any moisture that's in that soil directly into your brickwork. Capillary action, water dynamics, disaster.
Yeah, Mark, that's correct. So if you walk around and you're building a house, let's say it's been painted for a year, year and a half, even maybe earlier, you will see alkali burn around the top of the pavings, around the top of the grass, because...
Tell us a little bit more, what is the homeowner going to look for when you refer to alkali burn? What are the telltale signs?
So, well, two main things is discoloration in the color of your paint, because the alkali...
It's normally a lighter color.
Light or dark. Yeah, you mean the color's gone lighter?
Yes.
Yes, yes. So you've had discoloration, which has gone lighter, almost looks like chalking, but it's actually the burning of the pigment from the salt migration through into the primer into the coating, which has actually then burnt the pigment. And then over a while further along, you will then get chalking happening. So if you rub your hand on it, you'll get basically
a residue on your hand.
A residue on your hand. So that's what you look for. But it's very, very evident when you see that where the moisture is coming from. And that's just because the waterproofing hasn't been taken higher enough. Yeah.
There's very much the same reason at the top of your wall, weepholes. Once again, we see weephole covers on a north-facing wall that gets absolutely punished by the rain, but there's no weephole covers on it. So ideally, you've got this hole in your wall, a centimeter and a half wide, probably 6 centimeters high. It's a hole in your wall that goes through to your cavity, and your driving rain just drives straight into that hole. And you're going to get this alkali burn around your weephole covers as well. Telltale sign, rain's getting in there through your weephole covers. Through your weepholes. Very simple fix. Put a weephole cover over the top of it.
Correct.
The weephole covers are a dime a dozen, and they're not unattractive. It reminds me, I think you came to a site a couple of years back where they had weepholes, and the weepholes were beautiful. They were every 500 mils, half a meter. It almost looked as though the home was designed around the weepholes. It looked attractive. I remember you climbing up onto a ladder, taking your car keys, pushing your car keys into the weephole, and in fact, it wasn't a weephole. It was made to look like a weephole, but there is no. Make sure your weepholes are open.
Yes.
That's part of your maintenance. I can tell you right now, the listeners out there, if you've got a problem with water ingress and you get an insurance company out and they identify your weepholes are blocked, they don't want to pay you. And the very first thing they are going to say to you is that lack of maintenance. Mm. Weepholes are blocked, lack of maintenance, insurance will not pay out. It's not going to happen. A very interesting concept that came up, and a couple of my builders are using it. And is this worthwhile doing? Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're not sure that your cement is dry or your plaster is dry, a couple of guys will take a half a square meter of clear plastic, tape it to the wall, and leave it for a day or two. If moisture is on the inside of that plastic, if there's any form of condensation on the inside of that plastic, your wall is wet. Don't paint. You with me on that?
Absolutely, Mark. Well, that was the olden days how they did it. You know, before the moisture meters were around, they used to just tape a piece of plastic on and take it off. If there was condensation on the back, then there was still moisture in the wall. So if they're still doing that today, well...
I've got a couple of contractors that are. And in fact, a couple of... they call it the strip... We discussed it a couple of weeks ago. The strip test, where you put tape on your wall, keep your tape on your wall for 10, 15 minutes and pull it off. And if it doesn't go, your wall's wet.
Okay.
If it just pulls off, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a wet finger. It's
do
not,
it again,
it's not going to help.
Do it again.
I think I did that again, the last time. Any other advice that's critical for the contractor? We've probably got a minute left.
No, we haven't.
Haven't we got a minute left?
But you can finish off. I'll give you that grace.
anything that a contractor must look out for? New build, parapet walls, seal it, weepholes, damp course?
Mark, there's lots. So I can't actually point my finger on it. Rather call you.
100%. Okay. We're there. We were there for them.
And if you're not available, I can shoot down as well. Obviously, I'm not based in the area, but I'm happy to assist in any time.
Awesome. That's awesome. And he does.
That is awesome to know as well. Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you, Dale.
Pleasure.
For coming in and sharing your knowledge and your expertise with us. And I'm sure you'll be back on radio shortly.
Thanks a lot indeed.
go and have a licker day. Be safe out there, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Ciao.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.